Coming up now here on KVOE, it's time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps and Dylan Sherwood in the box this morning. Studio engineer Dan Courtwright, Tim Miller has the day off. Dylan, this has been a bit of a busy stretch for us, hasn't it?
Most definitely, and it's going to continue.
It sure is. Yeah, it'll continue next week. Of course, we are referring to our championship basketball season that we have every year here on the KVOE network of stations, mainly focused on Country 101.7, as it is this year with back-to-back tournament weeks. This week, the Flint Hills Shootout. We've got some great matchups coming up today in the Flint Hills Shootout championship semifinals and the championship brackets, which we'll have for you today on Country 101.7. And it was a late night last night with multiple overtime games, shoving our coverage deeper into the night.
I want to say this. I told Dan this as well when I came in this morning. When I was pulling in to the station to get, you know, some work done after I got back from El Dorado, the area games, so our area coverage last night was just getting off the air.
A little later than you would
usually
expect.
Usually I'm off the air last.
Sure.
That is usually the case, but that was not the case last night because, let's see, I believe they started like 3:35, and that's when I left for El Dorado, I left the station and to go get a couple other things before I left town. And then
got started about half an hour early with an overtime game pushing later, and then there was a double overtime game as part of our coverage.
Yeah.
And so that's what pushed everything back, and so we'll have those for you today. We'll see if they stay on time today. We are planning for a 3 o'clock start time, 2:55 for our pregame coverage on Country 101.7, and it'll actually be me today along with Michael Deeker. Deeker's going to do play-by-play for the first two games, and I'll be his color analyst. And then we also have KVOE television. We'll have it covered for you this afternoon as well as we'll have it on KVOE TV for you and get you set for the Flint Hills Shootout today on Country 101.7. And, of course, you'll be headed back down to El Dorado. And, unfortunately, you will not be heading down to call a championship. And sounded like Coach Baldwin not entirely pleased with the game yesterday.
Defense. He didn't like how they guarded yesterday.
That's a big part of the game.
Is a big part of the game. Yeah.
What was the issue defensively?
They just weren't guarding. They were.
I mean, Capen. I've covered a lot of Capen teams. Capen's typically pretty good. You know, so you can have a bad defensive game, and you feel like you played bad defensively just because they're so talented. They usually have length. They usually have guards that can stretch the floor. But I know that sometimes, and I think that after, you know, a win over Collegiate, Emporia High is probably thinking, you know what, we're pretty darn good ourselves. So do you think it was more of a position where Cape and Mount Carmel is that talented? Or did Emporia High just have an off night defensively?
I just think Capen was good. They were good. Steve Eck, you know, longtime coach at Hutch.
Several trips to the NJCAA tournament.
Yeah, and won the 2017 national championship.
And a national champion, yeah.
He hand-delivered me a note card with its stats, which You know, I went up to their assistants on Thursday night because I knew it was going to be the case. And Steve Eck came to me and had handwritten stats for me, which, you know, I really liked. And then there,
listen, that does not surprise me that Steve Eck would do that for you.
He gave me some good stuff, and they had shooters too. They had one kid that was shooting 62% on the season from the field, 61% from three. They're good. They're good. They were the state runner-up last year in 5A.
And Emporia High has been a little bit injury-depleted in this tournament.
Yeah, and I think we saw a little rust from River Peters yesterday.
So he's back, but he missed the first game.
He missed the first game due to that injury. But I think if Emporia High makes some adjustments, they're going to watch some film, get a little shoot around before they go to El Dorado this afternoon.
And they're playing a homeschool Manhattan Chief.
Yes.
Have you gotten to see them? Are they?
I was able to watch them.
Are they any good?
Well, they're 9-3. This will be their, and I mentioned this in my sportscast this morning, this will be the Thunder's sixth game against a Keisha school.
And against Keisha schools, they are
4-1.
Okay.
They have actually played an Emporia area team, one of our area teams, Northern Heights, in the Wabunsee tournament back in December, and ran all over Northern Heights. So,
okay.
I think this could be an interesting game. Let's see what Emporia High can do, because I think this is a team that needs another win in this tournament.
Okay, so because that'll be at 2.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, just one other thing I want to mention real quick. Because a win today gets some very, you know, gets the confidence back. Because it's a big week next week for that basketball team. Tuesday night at home against Manhattan, then a makeup game with JC on Thursday.
Sure.
Big week next week, and a win today would be huge for this team.
So we've got that covered for you today, and that'll be 2:30.
That'll be 2:30.
So 2:15 pregame.
2:15. Could go early. The athletic director at El Dorado told me they might go ahead of schedule.
Sure.
Once the other games get done.
This will be on Mix 104.9 today. So
yes,
Spartan fans, make sure that you make that adjustment, because this will be on Mix 104.9. We've got other stuff. We'll have KU basketball for you on KVOE today. So make that adjustment over there. We do need to, first of all, let's tell you about our guest coming up here. We're about to call in just a couple of minutes. We will call Amy Martin, the Emporia High head bowling coach, and they are just underway into their meets, the boys bowling team, 2 meets into the year. And so we'll talk to Amy Martin about Spartan bowling coming up here on the show today. And we'll also get a preview of Emporia State Lady Hornet softball with April Rosales, 33-23 last year, and the Hornets 13-13 in the MIAA. So we'll be talking with her as well. And then, of course, our visit with Mitch, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, coming up later on to wrap up the show today as the Chiefs head up to Buffalo for a big playoff game. Mm. But before we get to any of that, we've got to get to our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. We've got one for Emporia High and one for the area. Dylan, can you take us through your Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week? I would think that this would be easier this week since the basketball teams have actually been playing games.
Yes. Well, I'm going to the boys for this week. But if it wasn't for this senior on Thursday, they probably would not have won that game against Wichita Collegiate. He had a career high on Thursday as well. Had 11 points last night as well. But Sheldon Stewart, this kid, he's a good athlete. He's been thrown into some different situations, especially with being a quarterback in football after playing wide receiver. He's a team captain for Lee Baldwin's squad and minus a team captain in River Peters on Thursday. Sheldon Stewart showed me something that I had not seen in him yet, but He is having a fantastic basketball season, and Thursday's performance really showed me something out of him.
Okay, so Sheldon Stewart
is our Emporia High, Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And our area athlete.
Well, usually I would go to basketball for this one, but I woke up this morning and I was scrolling through Facebook, and Derek Buckey, Chase County football coach, and he's the wrestling coach over there for the Bulldogs. Yesterday at the Council Grove Invitational, Micah Cothers, ranked 3rd in 3-2-1A at 190, won the Council Grove Invitational. He also now has a school record 83 career victories by pinfall. So Micah Cothers of the Chase County Boys Wrestling Team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
Okay, so congratulations to Sheldon Stewart and Micah Cothers, and they'll get a nice plaque for their efforts. And if you have an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of us. You can call us here at the station, 620-342-1400, during business hours, please, 8 to 5. Or you can email Dylan, SherwoodD, that's SherwoodD at KVOE.com, and nominate your athletes for our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. Coming up after this, we'll take a timeout and get you set for Emporia High Bowling, already underway with their season. Amy Martin, the head coach of the Spartans, she is next. We'll talk with her right after this on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com.
The new year is here, and at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. Get up to $6,500 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 when trading in a 2010 or newer vehicle. Or save up to $1,500 on a new 2024 Chevy Blazer. Plus, you can take advantage of great interest rates as low as 1.9% on select models with approved credit. Don't forget, we are looking for great used car trade-ins for our inventory, and we are willing to buy your extra vehicle or give you our highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for three generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Get our best deal every day at Longbine Auto Plaza. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Head coach Patty Gassa was looking forward to molding this year's team as they try to become the first softball team to ever win four titles in a row.
I am so excited about starting over. That sounds crazy. I mean, you know, you would love to have this team forever and they'll win forever, but you need challenges, and this is going to be a big challenge for this program.
A Santa Clara surprise next on This Week in the NCAA.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Coach Mark Few earned his 700th career victory with his team's win over Pepperdine on Thursday night. The victory came 1 week after the Zags fell to Santa Clara for the first time in 13 years.
In the air. No good off the back iron. Rebounded by Watson. 2 seconds. 1 second. He throws it away. The Broncos win.
Anthony Passarelli on Sidearm Sports as Santa Clara snapped a 26-game losing streak to their conference foe. Gonzaga's loss knocked them out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since 2016. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. We're talking Emporia High bowling here on the show this week with the head coach Amy Martin, the head coach of the Spartans, 2 meets into their season, and she appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement studio line. Coach Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, 2 meets into your season, how do you feel like you guys are performing here to start the year?
We've had a really positive first couple meets. Boys, you know, fared well when we were in Wichita at the Bakers tournament. We had an exciting tournament last Tuesday or Wednesday, and I look for big things with the team.
Coach, kind of reflect on that tournament on Wednesday. I know you guys hadn't bowled in a tournament since the Bakers tournament. What were some positives from Wednesday?
Thing with Wednesday was, you know, getting our feet wet, getting used to, you know, the individual games, all that stuff. We did have 2 boys in the top 10, which is really positive. The JV really rocked it, so I look, you know, forward to them guys coming up. But yeah, I think, I mean, Colton and Nate are going to, you know, take the team far this year.
Did you guys have any crazy schedule adjustments that you had to deal with all this snow that we had, like the basketball teams did?
We have not had to postpone anything. We haven't had very much practice.
Okay.
But we do have a change for Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Instead of being at home, we will be in Junction City.
Okay, fair enough. So they're headed out to Junction City on Tuesday. Who are some of the leaders on this team that you're expecting to be the big point scorers for you this year?
Of course, Nate Green, he won regionals last year, so I think he's going to continue to do well. Then we got Colton Swift, who's always, you know, managed to perform really well. I do expect to see some good things out of Kadrick Crouch. He's new to varsity, so we got to get the nerves out of him, but then he's going to do good.
Can you talk about... Coach.
Then as far as the girls, you know, Taylor McKay and Danica Williams, I believe they're going to lead those girls to do some good things.
Coach, can you kind of talk a little bit about Kadrick Crouch? I know, just talking with his dad, he really impressed everyone in tryouts and, you know, as a sophomore too. What does Kadrick bring to this team that has – you know, several pieces back from a team that made it to state last year?
Since we only lost one senior, you know, Kadrick has really stepped up to fill that spot. I mean, he was on JV last year and was really learning. He has spent time, you know, in the off time right before the season started. He was in here every day. He's got the dedication and drive. So I think that's going to help the team just be more positive and go where they need to go.
Amy Martin is our guest. She is the head bowling coach at Emporia High School. Coach, obviously this year was a little bit different for the bowling calendar as there was unified bowling for the first time ever as a sanctioned sport from the KSHSAA. Who were some of the veterans that participated on that unified bowling team who are now out for the regular portion of the bowling schedule? And how did that experience kind of affect them and hopefully help prepare them for this regular season?
We had 4 kids from the regular team join us for unified. It was Colton Swift, Nate Green, Hayden Thexton, and Taylor McKay. One of the first things they learned was it was a different environment. It did help sharpen their focus because it wasn't like a normal meet. There was kind of a little bit of chaos, but it did help sharpen their focus. So I think they're going to use that focus now to do better in the regular season.
What was that experience? Because you were an assistant coach for that team. What was that experience like for you, kind of leading that program and kind of blazing some new territory for bowling in Kansas at the high school level?
Well, with it being our first year, it was, you know, just getting everything organized, but I really enjoyed it. It was, you know, a highlight of my year. Those kids are so great. and I enjoyed working with them so much.
And, Coach, I know you mentioned about Tuesday's meet, which was supposed to be a home meet, but now that home meet, you'll have a home meet on Thursday. Who will you be facing on Thursday?
Well, Thursday we have, not even really sure. I think we have, yeah, schedule's so chaotic. I mean, I can tell you we're bowling Tuesday, but I haven't really looked at Thursday.
But also, it's going to be a busy week for you guys next week with the Great Plains Classic happening at Northridge in Wichita. The boys, or I believe, is it the boys bowling on Friday and the girls on Saturday, or is it flip-flop?
The boys on Friday, the girls on Saturday.
Okay, yeah, I have your calendar that you sent to me, but I wanted to double-check on that. And that's usually another great tournament, just kind of like the Baker's tournament that you competed in a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, there's quite a few teams. I know last year there was 36. I don't know if they've added to them, but it gives us a chance to gauge what we're up against as far as regionals and state and where we stand in the state, because it brings in a lot of teams.
We're talking with Amy Martin. She is the head bowling coach at Emporia High for both the boys and the girls. Coach, looking at some of the youngsters on your team, is there anybody here in the season that you feel like has a chance to break out and be a point scorer that maybe wasn't a major part of the team last year, an underclassman, freshman or sophomore, that you think can step in and provide that role this year?
Once again, we're going to go to Kadrick Crouch. That kid has got some talent. He just needs to calm down on his nerves, and he's going to be great.
How do you coach that? Because obviously it's easy to say, just step up to the lane and don't be nervous. But that's, you have to gain that experience. How do you go about as a coach trying to provide that leadership of what he needs, what every individual player needs in order to be able to be at their calmest when they are at the lane?
I do have to thank Coach Sambro from ESU. He actually came out and had a mental talk with my kids. That has helped tremendously. I see kids in a different light when it comes to nerves and stuff. They're calming themselves down. They're focusing on what they need to focus on. Without that talk, I think it would have been a little rough like last season, but I really think they're reeling it in because of that talk.
And you're talking about Coach Sambro from Emporia State Cross Country?
Yes.
I can't wait to have him on next year. I'm sad that the schedule didn't work out for us to have him on this year because you want to talk about a ball of positive energy. That is Coach Sambro. What was it like to have him? That I'm trying to wrap my head around him talking to bowlers because he always gets so jacked up talking about cross country. What was that like to have him in there talking to your kids?
Oh, it was great. He's great with the mental game. He's all about the mental game. He knows that's a big part of any sport. And, it was just great to, watch my kids soak up his knowledge and now try to implement that on the lanes.
Well, final question for you, Coach, here. What are your expectations for the boys and the girls? How far do you feel like you guys can make it into state? What are your expectations for the postseason? And, not that you necessarily have to say, well, we want this many bowlers in state, or we want this place in state, but, what are your expectations for this year's group of Spartans and Lady Spartans?
With the Spartan boys, they have the potential to go as far as they want to go. As long as they're a team and everything, I believe they'll be at state. With the girls, we did lose a lot of talent this year, but I do believe that the girls will still step up and make it to state.
Okay, so that's very high expectations, as there should be for Spartan and Lady Spartan bowling. Amy Martin, the head bowling coach at Emporia High. Thank you, Coach. Enjoy the rest of your season and good luck.
Thank you.
Well, having Coach Sambro, I've talked to him so many times, and he is always such a positive force in terms of energy and what he brings. And talking about cross country, that would have been an interesting conversation to hear a part of.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Oh, and we still have Coach.
I guess we still have Coach. Coach, thank you. Appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
Well, we'll be back here. Let's take a time out here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, and we'll be back with April Rosales. We'll get a preview of some Emporia State softball. That is coming up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBondAuto.com.
The new year is here, and at Longmont Auto Plaza, we have some great ways to start your new year in a new Chevrolet car, truck, or SUV. Get up to $6,500 off MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 when trading in a 2010 or newer vehicle. Or save up to $1,500 on a new 2024 Chevy Blazer. Plus, you can take advantage of great interest rates as low as 1.9% on select models with approved credit. Don't forget, we are looking for great used car trade-ins for our inventory, and we are willing to buy your extra vehicle or give you our highest trade offer. You'll get the same great customer service we provided for three generations too. It's our commitment to you at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us online 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Get our best deal every day at Longmont Auto Plaza. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424-226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by longbineauto.com. We are about 10, maybe 12 minutes away from talking with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, to preview Chiefs divisional football this weekend on Country 101.7. But, Dylan, it's hard to believe we're not that far away. We're like a week and a half away from Emporia State softball, which always blows my mind that we talk softball in February, but that is exactly what's going to happen. Emporia State head softball coach April Rosales is joining us. The Lady Hornets last year went 33-23 and 13-13 in the MIAA and made the MIAA tournament. Coach Rosales, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing just fine. Can you reflect on last year, 10 games over 500 back in the MIAA tournament, 500 in MIAA play, and what is considered typically to be a pretty difficult softball league? How do you feel like last year went?
Well, I think you just said it. We're 10 games over 500, and we're still a seventh seed in the conference. So I think that says a lot about, you know, how tough our conference is and the quality of opponents that we face day in and day out. So I look for it to be very similar this year, but hopefully some of our preseason games and prep will help us through that this year.
Who do you look at off of last year's team who's not back as some of the key departures that you guys have been working to try to fill their spot, whether it be in the lineup or in the starting rotation in the circle?
Well, Sydney Riggi is a pitcher that we had for 5 years and with COVID, and she's somebody that leadership-wise was huge for us. And so, I mean, that's the only pitcher we don't have back. We have five of six back, and we just lost her to graduation. So I think that's probably the biggest one there. But like I said, we've got five back, so I'm excited to see what those guys do.
Coach, what else do you like? You know, you have Abby Ward back as well, and, you know, can be really good on the base pass for you guys. What do you like about Abby coming back?
Well, I love Abby, the kid, first of all, but as a softball player, I mean, she just does everything for us. She's solid at short and makes some really great plays for us. And then she's just kind of that leader that's quiet but just goes about her job and does it really well. And so, of course, she brings the speed to us, but she's also top of the lineup, either one, two hole usually for us and brings that spark that we need a lot of the time. So she's just one of those mainstays we've had. Again, this will be her fifth year, and I'm excited to see what she can do.
Are you going to miss this era of having 5- and 6-year kids?
in some ways, and in some other ways, COVID's kind of created a bear for recruiting and who's coming back and who's not. But, you know, these kids that have chosen to come back and remain a part of our program are ones that are near and dear to my heart. So as far as just kids and relationships, you know, I couldn't ask for better.
We're talking with April Rosales. She is the head coach for the Lady Hornets softball team, getting set to resume play next month. And you mentioned some pitching that you've got back, including Gracie Rabe with a 2.85 ERA. How important do you feel like she's going to be anchoring your rotation this year in the circle?
You know, I think she's grown a ton over her 3 years here so far, and I think she's worked really hard to add a rise ball to her arsenal this year, and so her best pitch is her drop ball, and so for her to be able to add a pitch that's going the other direction, I think will be huge for her and help her out even more. And so I think just her and then pitching by committee. I mean, Josie Harrison's been here 5 years, and you know, with her being able to play multiple positions, it's always been tricky to figure out where and how to get her in the lineup, and I think, you know, if we can get her some more innings this year, it'll make a lot of difference. So like I said, I'm really excited about who we have, and I think they're excited for the challenge to, you know, go out there and produce better than a seventh place finish.
Coach, has there been anyone else that stand out in fall ball in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a freshman in, Brooke Flew-Welling. Bailey is our catcher, and it's her younger sister, but Brooke had a really good fall hitting-wise for us and was very solid at third base. So I look to see her do some good things over there. And, you know, around the infield, we're pretty veteran-heavy. And even in the outfield, I mean, we've got all of our outfielders back. So it's just one of those things that it's nice going into the season knowing I won't be there the whole time, but knowing that, you know, we've got some veteran leadership out there that's hopefully going to take the reins and help this team compete day in and day out.
We're here with April Rosales, head softball coach for Emporia State. We've got Mitch Holtis from the Chiefs coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. Coach, in terms of what your lineup is going to look like to start the season, what do you feel like is going to be the strength of your team? Obviously, you're hoping to improve week by week and game by game as you move forward. But what's the one thing February 1st that you're going to, you know, roll out of bed that day and say, you know what, I believe that Lady Hornets softball is going to be good at this? Is there something you could point your finger to today?
Yeah, I mean, I think offensively we picked up Coach Hill from, you know, she played here at Emporia, and I gave her the reins for hitting, and I think she's done a phenomenal job in the fall already in the games we played then, but then just over the off season and into this preseason period we're in now. But I'm excited to see how our hitters come out and just compete. I think that at-bats have been a lot better. We've cut down on strikeouts and added some power numbers here and there within our fall. So just to go out there and see them now compete against the best of the best that we play, I think is going to be exciting for me.
Coach, you mentioned about the your non-conference schedule really testing you, but what do you feel like early you want to learn from these games, especially with these two tournaments coming up in February, going to Mankato, Minnesota for a weekend, then going to Bentonville, Arkansas for some games, and then you have your ESU Classic, which always seems to get shuffled. Hopefully you're playing on Turnbull Field at the Trussler Sports Complex third weekend of February. But what do you feel like these four tournaments before MIAA play that you want to get out of?
Well, I just want our kids to understand how competitive our region is. I mean, the MIAA is tough enough, but our region in itself is real tough, and that's across the board in all sports for us. But you know, Mankato won in 2017, Augustana won in 2022, and we've got both of those in this first month. And I think that'll just right away tell us kind of where we're at. And hopefully, you know, we've got nine freshmen. I don't think a ton of them will probably see a lot of playing time, but at least they're going to be able to see what that competition's like and how different it is and get some of that experience right out of the gate. So. Yep. Really, the experience of it for the majority of them, I think, is something that we always look forward to. And I always say we want to play the best of the best. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So we try to make a challenging schedule so we can do that.
April Rosales is our guest. She is the head coach for the Lady Hornets softball team. Coach, you had mentioned that you might not be coaching with the team all year. Not that you won't be with the team. That may not be the best way to say it, but maybe you'll be coaching and watching from afar. Would you like to kind of, you know, talk us through how you feel like that's going to work this year?
Yeah, I actually just found out a couple of days ago that we're going to be induced March 5th. So
I'll make it hopefully through.
Thank you. We'll make it through those first 4 weekends, hopefully, and then I'll be a fan, which I think is probably going to be the hardest role I've probably played in quite some time. But, you know, it's one of those things that is what it is, and we're excited to expand our family, but at the same time, those girls are my family too, so we're going to make sure that we're there as much as we possibly can be for them and in that role. But it'll be for me on the sidelines up in the press box, kind of watching from afar and just hoping that, you know, they have their best seasons yet.
How do you feel? And listen, like, I'm coming new into this program, so this is going to be my first year. I'm excited to have you guys on the radio. So I don't really know your tendencies, if you're a hands-on coach or, you know, somebody who's a little bit more laissez-faire. Do you feel like you're someone who can take the hands off and hand the reins to somebody else? How do you feel like that's going to go for you mentally?
I think it's going to be a struggle for a little while, but I'm definitely somebody that loves to be around the girls and you know, work with them and help them to be better each week and learn from the mistakes we've made each week to week and, you know, adapt and grow from those things. And so I think it's going to be tough, but, you know, it's like I said, it's one of those things that my family is more important than any job obviously would be. And so it's just going to have to be one of those things that apparently I grow and adapt from myself.
And you have mentioned that you've brought in Megan Hill, who's going to be taking over a lot of those day-to-day operations as your family expands off of the field. You know, you've brought her in to expand your family on the field. How much trust do you have in her to be able to be you while you're not there and to help be that liaison and take care of everything on the field while you're not with the team this year?
Well, I wouldn't be leaving the program to anybody that I didn't trust. So I think that, you know, Megan coming in was a huge deal for me. We played together and we're very good friends. And actually she introduced me to my wife. And so we've been good friends and we're very similar in style and coaching and beliefs, especially when it comes to the softball field and just having her back and being able to work with her through the fall and early this spring is something that, you know, it's made me even more, I think I made the right choice in bringing her in, and I think she's going to do a lot of what I would have done in the first place. So nothing but trust in her and the rest of our coaching staff, and we're just really blessed that we've been able to add that assistant position along with our graduate assistant and volunteer assistant.
Coach, I'll warn you, because I was down in Wichita, and the assistant women's basketball coach, Nicole Lee Johnson, she happened to have, this was not planned. This was unexpected, but happened to have another son during the year. She was gone from the team for a while and came back. And the first time that the baby was brought to practice, let me tell you, the players could not be more excited. So I just want to warn you for what's going to happen when the baby shows up to practice for the first time, whenever that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we experienced that with our firstborn, and it's awesome because Carter now has, you know, 21 big sisters is what we call them for, and I think that's something that'll be awesome for our little boy as well.
Well, final question for you here. What are your expectations for this year? What do you feel like Lady Hornet softball can accomplish this year? What is going to make you feel at the end of the year that, you know what, we took a positive step forward and we took a positive step for this program and got to where we needed to be for this program after this year?
Well, our goal is always to try to finish in the top three in the conference. And like I said, it's a tough conference. So I think that all starts, you know, with this preseason and using these games to our advantage to learn and to grow. And by the time we go into that first weekend of conference in March, that we're, you know, not necessarily the best we're going to be all season, but we're playing at a high level and able to compete in those games and at least give ourselves a chance at the end to, you know, either be in the lead or, you know, fight back and win that game at the end. So I think we've been right there in a lot of games in the past several years, and we've got to find that way to get over that hump and make those things happen. And I think, you know, like I said, with our offensive power that we have this year, I think that's something that we can definitely accomplish.
April Rosales, Emporia State head softball coach, appearing with us on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Of course, we will have play-by-play coverage of Emporia State softball, the schedule to be announced at a later date. Coach, obviously wishing you the best with everything for you and the baby, with health and coming up, and obviously certainly hope your team has a great season too, and we'll see you out there at the ballpark in the press box.
Hey, we appreciate it, and we appreciate the support as always.
Coach April Rosales, good for her and her family.
Yeah,
and,
congrats.
Sounds like they've
coach.
Got the leadership in place to make all that work. I'm sure it'll be difficult once, you know, March rolls around. I'm sure it'll be tough for her to let go.
But I think it will. But you know, congrats to Coach Rosales, and she got a good you know, assistance. And she mentioned Megan Hill and Aaron Hammond, you know, works at the Emporia Rec Center as the wellness coordinator.
Sure.
Was the head coach at Emporia High for a couple of years and served as an assistant under Troy Chapman at Emporia High. Has been around softball here in the Emporia community. So I feel like the Lady Hornets are in good hands.
Okay. Well, we certainly hope for them to have the best season that they can. I'm sure they will take steps forward this
yes.
year. And speaking of taking steps forward, Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood in with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. And, of course, he is brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Mitch also appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line as the Chiefs take a step forward into the icy tundra of Buffalo this week in the divisional round. Mitch, how are you this morning?
Well, ready to head to Buffalo now. Dylan, tell me, how did you do with the read on Emporia State Federal Credit Union live read? Because it's playoff time. Yeah, you got to go to another level here, bud.
That's true. So,
that's right.
Dylan?
You know, he does it well all the time. He's continuing to improve on this rookie season.
Yeah, I mean,
this time of year, you don't think of, you know, Shamari Connors playing so many snaps.
Yeah.
Thinking him a rookie, he's right in the middle of the thick of things. So,
well, that's, you know, just there. Say, the after
the
regular season.
The one they call.
Go that? Ahead, Mitch.
I said, the one they call blockades. Playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the you know, in college basketball, they say, you know, once the regular season's over, you're not a freshman or a rookie anymore, right?
Truthful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, truth, truer words never spoken. So, for sure. So you're in it now, but here we go, boys, playoff time.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, Kansas City Chiefs with the win over the Dolphins 26-7 last time out, and you know, you praised the team on the call, deservedly so. Another outstanding performance by the defense. You know, scored 26 points in those conditions, I think, is impressive, and they were able to get into the red zone consistently. I know they want more touchdowns. But your biggest praise, I think, and I don't know if I've ever heard this on a Chiefs, and I've been listening to Chiefs games for a long time. I don't think I've ever heard a game where the fans were praised more than the players or the coaches or anything else, but it certainly sounded like that to me, and I'm not even trying to tell you that it wasn't deserved for the fans, because what an atmosphere it was for that Chiefs win.
Well, when I put it out on Monday morning on Twitter/X, at Mitch Holthus, that I've never been more proud of the Chiefs Kingdom or a group of players, coaches, and staff. That game is set aside of the 500 and how many games I've done. Put that one on the side. It's not just a 21st franchise playoff win or Pat's 12th playoff win or coach's 13th playoff win. No. It's by itself. You know, I do a Facebook Live pregame show down on the field. Dumb me. I'm with Matt McMullen, who's outstanding. And here's where I got that, Blake. When I went down there, I mean, my face, like, immediately froze. And it was so brutally cold. I mean, it was minus 28 wind chill.
Yeah.
And I was holding a bottle of water with maybe, you know, 3 inches of water in there. And so 20-ounce bottle and maybe, I don't know, a couple ounces left. I walked down the tunnel, and by the time I got to our position, it was frozen. I thought, how are guys going to play in this? This is Green Bay Dallas Ice Bowl stuff. And now we know it's the fourth coldest NFL playoff game ever. But to perform that well and for the crowd to be there, there were way more people there than I thought there was going to be, and they were as loud as if it was a September home opener. It was awesome, man. That's a standalone game to me, even more than the Super Bowls and all of that. It just sets over there on its own place in history.
Mitch, what does it mean for this team? I know with playing last Saturday and getting ready to play tomorrow at Buffalo, it feels like we've been talking, you know, previously about how other teams have had more time to prep for the Chiefs, and now the Chiefs got a couple extra days with the Bills having to play the Steelers on Monday.
Dylan, it's big. It's big when you get past Thanksgiving. And in the playoffs, to get this chance, it is why the one seed, I'm trying to think, has every one seed made it through to the Super Bowl since we started this? It was 21-22 in this year. And I'll tell you what, I'm giving you a long answer, but the 17th game has also made this more difficult. And so the fact that you've got one more, in most cases, if you're a good team, a hard 17th game, and you don't get that bye week, for the Chiefs to get the pseudo bye week when they had the Chargers week was huge for the energy that it took, the extra energy to win that super permafrost cold game last week. But now you get the two extra days. That ended up being a hard game for Buffalo. Pittsburgh's hard to play anyway. They're never going to just float around. They're going to hit you. And it looked like Buffalo was going to run away and hide, and they could have a pseudo second half bye week. But they didn't. They had to grind. And they've got injuries. So Buffalo comes in. I think it could be a big advantage for the Chiefs. And it's just the opposite of the stuff I was kind of moaning and groaning about all throughout December.
Well, Kansas City Chiefs fans, certainly tough. You know, I know that if Bills Mafia were on the show, they would say, well, what about us? We're the ones digging out our own stadium so we can even play these freaking games, and they're having to do it again. The conditions don't look like they're going to be that much warmer, if at all, this weekend up in Buffalo.
Well, there's going to be 4 to 6 feet of snow. Feet, not inches.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
That is.
But Blake, let's just back up the truck. For the Chiefs, it's going to be 30 degrees warmer than last week.
That is true.
At 25 degrees, it will be 30 degrees warmer. So think about 30 to 60, 20 to 50, 10 to 40. Right? Our guys may be laying out before the game trying to get a tan. I mean, it's
yeah.
We're okay. And yes, the Bills Mafia has had to dig out. And I admire what they've done, man. Mad props to those people. And we're in Lake Orchard, which is, I think, even closer to the lake effect than most of the part of Buffalo. But still, yeah, they're digging out. They had to dig out. They've had to dig out some more. I was looking at with my family last night, like, because my daughter-in-law was going, how did they get all that out of the top deck? Well, they've got these chutes, and they have to put it in, you know, they dump it onto the ground, and then they pick it up with a loader and put it into a dump truck, and they got to handle it like four times. So it's impressive. So it makes up for the dumb thing they do, like jumping on a table from, you know, breaking your back. Like that's I don't know where that started. But give the Bills Mafia credit for digging out about 4 to 6 feet of snow, not 4 to 6 inches.
Mitch, I know the Bills have dynamic receivers, and they're not going to have a Gabe Davis you know, tomorrow due to a knee injury, and of course everyone remembers the best 2 minutes of that playoff divisional game 2 seasons ago, where Gabe Davis had, you know, just kind of went off. But that's got to be huge for the Chiefs defense, knowing that they have one weapon out of the equation, but still LeJarius Sneed's going to have to go against a guy like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is an interesting study. You know, after when they played us on December the 10th, they were 6-6. Now, they had 2 weeks to get ready for us. That goes back to your rest question, Dylan. They had 2 weeks in December to get ready for us, and they were desperate to win. They had a 5% chance of winning the AFC East. So my comparison this week for Buffalo in doing the deep dive to them, like what have they done these last 5 to 6 weeks, is they got into DeLorean and found Michael J. Fox. And they went back to the future, because what they did was went back to 2020 and 2021. And what I mean by that is, yes, Diggs is a weapon, and I mean, I remember Gabe Davis had 209 on us, like one of the greatest player performances of all time of any team, any player. But the back to the future is, why Buffalo's winning these games, they're running the ball. Mm-hmm. And there's two guys doing it, James Cook, who's really good, the former Georgia running back, and they're going back to the design runs with Josh Allen. K-State fans will remember Colin Klein winning the Big 12, running quarterback power with 59 times. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you do that, you have 10 guys that block 11, and your 11th guy is running the ball. A normal handoff is a handoff, and 9 guys block 11 with one guy running the ball and the other guy looking around like, what am I going to run the next play? Okay, so think about the quarterback run game when it's performed at a high level. So what Buffalo has done is gone back to their 2020-21 file. They got away from it, guys, because I think they were afraid of getting Josh Allen hurt. They're like, we're running him so much on design runs that he's going to get a kill shot and we're going to be in trouble. Well, at 6-6, they're desperate. I think Sean McDermott actually fighting for his job. So what do we do best? We'll run the ball. And Josh, we're going to, oh, he's back to pass. He's back. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a designed run. Because the linemen do a great job. It's like a screen. The linemen show pass, and then in an instant, they're just like a double pull, and they get to the outside, and now you have basically a quarterback-powered lead, Colin Klein style. And so that, and Cook running the ball, and here's your receiver to worry about in this game, Dylan, is 86, Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
The rookie tight end out of Utah. Really good. He can run every number on the route tree, 1 through 9. He's kind of a younger version of Kelsey, although he's not as thick as Kelsey. Not an inline, not as good as blocker as Kelsey, but he's really a problem. So the triangle that Buffalo has used to get this 6-game winning streak is Josh Allen running the ball, either scrambles like he did last week for 52 yards and a touchdown, or these sneaky design quarterback runs they brought back into their midst. James Cook running the ball, and then Dalton Kincaid. And then Diggs actually becomes a complement to that triangle. They're averaging, here you go, nugget for the morning, they're averaging 36 minutes a game on time of possession in this 6-game winning streak. That's now you're playing Army or Smith Center. Like, you don't get the ball, okay? When am I going to get the ball? Well, you get it here, and you're going to have it for like 2 minutes, and then they're going to have it for another 49 minutes, right? That's what Buffalo's doing. And so it's protected their defense as well, who lives off the takeaway.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like Harding Bison's football there, to be honest, with that
Harding Bison's football. You got it, buddy. And who won the D2 national title?
I love the Division 2 reference.
Yes,
there.
They did. Well, Mitch, I wanted to ask you this question. If you have anything else, Dylan, this is my last question. But the desperation of the Buffalo fan base, and I bring this to you because you know how the Chiefs' kingdom was going into that 2020 Super Bowl, where the Chiefs won, the world ended, and how desperate. I remember exactly how I felt when the Chiefs go into that game, like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to get this done? And I imagine that if there is a fan base that can empathize, it would be this Bills fan base that has not tasted championship while they've won like 2 AFL championships, and they have been so close several times. Of course, 4 straight times in the AFC Championship game, they won, losing in the Super Bowl. They had the long, meandering wander through the desert with no consistency at all after the Levy era. And then this Sean McDermott guy comes up, but they've had heartbreak again. 13 seconds. They've lost twice to the Chiefs. They've lost in the divisional playoffs several times. They have not gotten over the hump. You know what the Chiefs players were feeling in terms of pressure from the city and how the kingdom wanted them to win so bad. What do you feel like the Chiefs are going to be facing in this Buffalo team? Because I have to feel like the Bills Mafia, they're feeling this exactly how the Chiefs fans were going into that 2020 playoff run with Patrick Mahomes.
I'm getting ready to leave to go to the plane, but I just had this discussion with my wife, who coached for much of her career, and she was K-State's guard for 4 years. So we have these kind of talks, and we had that very discussion. Let me give you another comp here, Blake, and it's the 2018 AFC Championship game. So at least we won Super Bowl IV, right?
Yes.
And honestly, we got to Super Bowl I because we beat Buffalo in the old rock pile at War Memorial Stadium. So this goes way back. But I remember thinking, and you were just a young lad, you know, weaning off mother's milk, but in 2018, in the age-old year of 2018, we finally get to host the Patriots at Arrowhead. We're going to play them for the AFC title and go to the Super Bowl. And that's the D4 jump off or line up offside game.
Yeah.
And I just remember the frustration, like this is never going to happen. What the dynamic, and I think you're touching on this here, is the fact that Buffalo has like three times the pressure they should feel in this game because of the dynamics you laid out so very well. It's not always healthy in a big game like this to feel that kind of pressure. It is why Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, because they handle this kind of pressure so well, eradicated all those feelings of like, oh my God, it's the Colts. We'll never beat the Colts. Like it'll, you know, and we're just, this will never happen. And those guys are like, what are you guys talking about? So Buffalo, is that Josh Allen? Is that Sean McDermott? Don't know. But you're dead on with the dynamic of this game is that Buffalo is feeling immense pressure to win this game. The Chiefs, in a way, are kind of on house money, although we're dealing with the Patrick Mahomes that's never played a road playoff. Now, I'm fighting on this one. I'm, like, getting into it because, like, Super Bowl 55 and one host and a show in Des Moines goes, oh, come on, Mitch, that's a neutral game. I go, that wasn't a neutral game. Nope. That's COVID Super Bowl where they're giving free tickets to Tampa Bay people, and our friends and family bus almost got pushed over like a third world riot, and we're getting stuff thrown at our bus like it's the old Oakland Coliseum. I go, that was not a neutral game.
No.
Okay. But if we win this game, I'll give you the tip-off. You remember the old scene on Top Gun where they do the flyby,
yep,
and their CO gets chewed out and said, I want some butt, and I want it now. And Tom Skerritt walks out and looks at Tom Cruise and goes, well, I guess that'll pretty much cover the flyby. I cannot wait to win this game because your first thing you're going to hear is that will pretty much cover the Patrick Mahomes can't win playoff road games because I'm weary of it. That's the only thing we're carrying into this game. Buffalo's carrying the pressure.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills in the NFL Divisional, 5:30 for the kickoff tomorrow on Country 101.7 pregame show at 4 o'clock. I guess you'll probably be calling the game in shorts, right, because it'll be so much warmer, right, Mitch?
Oh, 30 degrees warmer, exactly. In fact, I've got a Speedo I just bought. I just have to pick it up. So, yeah.
Red gold.
I'm going to lay out. Just,
man, this is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm not going to jump on any backwards tables. Honestly, guys, I'm going to try to stay out of a fight. This is a 1970s stadium. This is OJ Stadium. Can I put that? Yeah. This is the stadium OJ played in, all right? Mm-hmm. The fans, and maybe you've had the fans, we've got kind of a half-opened-air booth. This is it. The fans are within 5 to 7 feet of us, and they just yell at us the whole game. And particularly if I get excited, if I bust out a touchdown Kansas City, oh my gosh, we're going to get snow in our booth. Kevin Harlan was, they were dragging Kevin Harlan out of the booth in the 93 AFC Championship game.
Wow.
Because Danon Hughes is, if I keep Danon Hughes out of jail, they tried to get Lenny in a fight, and of course he was a lover, not a fighter. But it's a weird play, and we'll have to deal with the whole lot. So I don't know in the MIAA, Blake, where you go, and the fans sit there and yell at you the whole time while you're doing the game. That's what we got in Buffalo.
Wow, I haven't been to Lee Arena yet as the voice of the Hornets.
There you go. You got it.
That's so, we'll see. It's a little bit different when you're, you know, being the voice of the Jets, being the voice of the Hornets. That might be a little different. So, put on your seatbelt. We're going to look forward to the game and hearing your call. Have a great call and a safe flight.
You got it, but I ain't leaving until Dylan. It's divisional round. You came through like a champion, Dylan, with the whistle for the -5 game. So,
yeah, I did.
What do we got?
All right. Hey, I got one question for you before I sound it. I know you're big with mascots. The Emporia High Spartans are playing for third place today in the Blue Stem Classic against Manhattan Chief Homeschool. Can you name their mascot?
The Chief Homeschool team. You're killing me on this one. I think they're the Chiefs, but I don't think they probably did that. It's because that Chief is an acronym for
yes.
Homeschool something, something, mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
I would say, it's got to be something like, it's got to be something spiritual, like Warriors or Men of David or something. I don't know.
You're close. Thunder.
Thunder, nice.
So
yeah, like the Wheaton yeah. Thunder. Yeah, Wheaton changed their name from the. Yeah, so cool. Manhattan Chief Thunder.
Mm. Yeah, so that's a big game.
Plus 10 points if you can tell us what the acronym of Chief is, because I don't know.
It's Christian.
Homeschool?
Yeah, like it's something like, I think like the F means, I think fellowship. I'm going to look that up real quick. But, while I looked that up, I got to take a big, deep breath because. Oh man!
The divisional playoffs. We're sabers drawn. I've picked up my Emporia Cavalry Brigade. Sabers are drawn, and we are going into the mouth of the dragon.
Okay.
It's the scene. Blake's a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Yeah.
It's correct. The scene
yes.
where Matt McMullen always sends this to me, where they're going. We'll ride out to meet them.
Okay.
Right? So fourth or Lingus, Blake, and so sabers drawn. We get on our steed and head right into the mouth of the dragon.
Okay. Chief means Christian Homes and Educational Fellowship. So
okay.
That is what
there you
the
go.
Abbreviation is. So Spartan fans, you might hear it again on the broadcast here later on.
I know
this
some
afternoon.
Of the,
so
I know some of the families that are in that group. It's awesome. They're awesome families, but I think why'd we stop with that? Can we get all 26 letters of the alphabet in that deal?
Yeah, I think you know? So.
All right.
Christian Homes and Evangelical Fellowship, X, Xenia, Z. Yeah, so, okay, go get it, man. Thunder.
All righty.
Woo, okay, woo, 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 woo!
There you go.
Victory insured.
Yes!
We'll
thank
see.
You, Mitch.
Draw your saber, rookie Blake. Draw your saber. We ride into battle.
We will do it. Thank you, Mitch.
Okay.
See ya.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, and of course, 5:30 is the kickoff on Country 101.7 on Sunday. Let's re-rack everything for you here in terms of the sports schedule today. Of course, you can get the sports schedule online anytime at kvoe.com/calendar. Of course, it all starts today on KVOE. We will have NFL Insider coming up for you in about 45 minutes on KVOE, getting you set for the weekend of playoff action. We'll have some for you later on tonight. We will have, at 2:30, the Blue Stem Classic semifinal game, or beg your pardon, the third-place consolation game, Spartans against Manhattan Chief, with all the letters and the acronym, 2:15 pregame on Mix 104.9. 3 o'clock, Flint Hills Shootout on Country 101.7 and KVOE-TV at KVOE.com, pregame at 2:55. 3 o'clock, Kansas at West Virginia. We know how tough that has been for the Jayhawks over the years. 1:30 pregame, also on KVOE. We'll have the Packers at the 49ers. We're going to be joining this directly at kickoff tonight, so 7:15 right at kickoff on KVOE for that playoff game. Then tomorrow, I'll be back with you for Emporia State Basketball, taking on Missouri Southern, a 1 o'clock pregame show, 1:30 for the doubleheader. Lady Hornets trying to go 2-0 this week, as are the men, and pick up wins against Missouri Southern. The Southern ladies, by the way, are in first place in the MIAA.
Well, and I can tell you that went on Wednesday night for Ryan Osterman's squad. That's huge for this team. That gives them huge confidence going
yes.
against the conference leader. And with home court advantage, the auditorium needs to be filled with black and gold.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, you can miss the first little part of the Chiefs game and come out and see both the men and the women play, because they're not playing until 5:30, okay? So I don't want to hear, oh, well, the Chiefs play. No. You can get out there and get home. You'll see 95 or 75% of the game. You'll be fine. Hornets and Lions, 1:30 on Mix 104.9 Sunday. Then we will have the Buccaneers and the Lions. We'll have that divisional game on KVOE as normal. We will not have the Westwood One coverage for the Chiefs game. Of course, we will have the Chiefs Radio Network, Chiefs at Bills, 4 o'clock pregame on Country 101.7. And then on Monday, we've got Kansas basketball against Cincinnati, and I'll have Hornet Talk, and we begin our coverage of the Lyon County League Tournament at 4 p.m. on Country 101.7.
And we will know those brackets today. There is a doubleheader between Madison and Hartford that's getting made up that's going to count towards the seeding of the league tournament. So we'll have those. I'll get a story on KVOE.com when we get the brackets. So just a lot of stuff to get to this weekend.
That is for sure. So that's how it all lines up. I will talk to you on Sunday, and we'll see you over on Country 101.7 for the Flint Hills Shootout later on today. This is KVOE AM, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Optimism from Nikki Haley ahead of the high-stakes New Hampshire primary.
Well, we're going to keep fighting until the last day. We're not giving up. We feel good. The energy on the ground is good. We're going to keep going.
She also called former President Trump insecure. He leads in the polls and Friday picked up the endorsement of Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. ABC's Mary Alice Parks is in Manchester with more on the race.
Trump overnight saying this about Haley.
She is not presidential timber. Now, when I say that, that probably means that she's not going to be chosen as the vice president.
The fact is, this primary will likely be decided by independents like Dennis Kutcher, who make up 40% of New Hampshire voters.
I think Nikki is the right person who should hopefully be able to bridge the divide.
Immigration is set to be a major issue in the general election in November. President Biden Friday told America's mayors he wants changes to immigration policy.
We need significant policy changes at the border, including changes in our asylum system to ensure that we have the authorities we need to control the border. And I'm ready to act.
He said he is ready to do so. House Republicans say more restrictive policies are needed if they're going to approve more aid for Ukraine and Israel. President also Friday spoke with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's voiced his opposition to the two-state solution in the Middle East. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was asked if that's still realistic.
The president still believes in the promise and the possibility of a two-state solution. Now, he recognizes that's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of leadership there in the region, particularly on both sides of the issue.
Another weekend of bitter cold for millions of people. Parts of the Deep South could see wind chills below zero. The extreme weather has been blamed for at least 55 deaths across the country. You're listening to ABC News.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SKYRIZI, risankizumab rizin, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SKYRIZI helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptom.